11 a.m. on Saturday. You know what that means.
Lou Manfredini.
It's time for Lou and the Mr. Fix-It Show. So grab that cup of coffee and your honey-do list for the weekend, honey, because he's here till 10 to answer your home improvement questions.
Samantha, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. I have a problem with my toilet, and none of my ex-husbands are around to fix it for me. So.
So get ready. Because I am about to let him loose. Right here on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Get ready. Here I come. This hour, the Mr. Fix-It Show, sponsored by our friends at Ace Hardware, Chevy Drive Chicago, and PermaSeal Basement Systems. 312-981-7200 is our phone number, and my Uber driver's name, I found it, Domati, was Adquiton.
Adquiton?
Yeah.
What origin is that? What country?
It's not an origin. I think it just was his mother put those things all together.
That's creative.
It's a cool name, right?
Adquiton.
We had an interesting conversation. So I'm in Dallas, Texas, and I always love talking to the Uber drivers. Like, I want to hear all about, you know, why they do this kind of stuff. Why are you looking at me like that?
That is shocking to me.
That I want to talk to people?
Yes.
And I'm always, you know, the thing is, I'm an old man, and so Uber is still something that is, like, for you, Domati, you probably take it all the time, right?
Yeah, Uber's a regular thing now.
It's like a thing, right? And Lindsay, I know that, you know, you and your husband, when you guys go out, you know, it's like a thing. Oh, we're just going to Uber. It's not even whether it's Uber or Lyft, whatever. Our daughter Mallory is a Lyft user, but anyway, he goes, oh, it's the best part-time job I ever had. And he goes, I've been doing this for 2 years. He's actually a behavioral therapist. That's what he does for a living, okay?
And this is what he does for on the side.
And he goes, you know, I do it whenever I want. He goes, you know, sometimes I can't sleep at night, and I just get in the car, and I go pick up some, you know, fares and do whatever. Well, it was on the heels of this terrible story that you've been reporting on about this poor Uber driver that was killed, you know, in Lincolnwood. It was awful, right?
Yeah.
And I said, you know, do you worry? And this guy... was a pretty good-sized guy, you know, and, you know, there's no barrier, right, like in a lot of cabs and stuff like that. And so we're talking about that, and he says to me, well, you know, here in Texas, everybody has a gun. And I go, oh, you know, thinking to myself, he's just telling me that he's got a gun. I'm like, well, I'm from out of town. I don't.
Right?
But then listen to this. So then he says to me, he goes, well, we got a lot of celebrities now that are moving to Texas. And I go, well, what does that have to do with having a gun? He goes, well, in Texas, there's a trespassing law. Are you a moviegoer at all, Domati?
I don't get it out as often as I would like.
Did you, Lindsay? Did you see the movie Come Hell or High Water?
Oh no, I didn't.
I love that movie, but there's a scene at the end of the movie that I didn't quite get until Adquiton told me about this. So. If you have a no trespassing sign on your property in Texas, and somebody comes onto your property, you can shoot them.
It's the wild, wild west in Texas.
You can shoot them legally, and you're in the right. And so he said that celebrities are moving to Texas because they can buy a beautiful home in Texas, and they have a big, huge piece of property with a fence that says no trespassing. The paparazzi can't enter the property.
Wow.
Because you're nervous that you'll get shot.
Right. My sister, my brother and sister live in Arizona, and they're very pro-gun. And at the front door, they have a big sign that says, with a gun, that says, we don't call 911.
And for those to explain, your sister is this big, and I'm holding my fingers.
It's definitely not my sister. It's more my brother-in-law.
Right. But, I mean, Lindsay is tall, and your sister is teeny tiny.
Yeah.
Right. If I would imagine that if she shot a gun, she'd go back 10 feet.
It would hurt her more than the other person.
But I thought it was really interesting. He goes, oh, yeah, they moved down here because people can't trespass on the thing because they're worried they would get shot.
I've got a friend for her birthday weekend. She was at a shooting range, and she has this gun that's bigger than her. She's about 5'1".
Right.
Has this gun that's bigger than her, and the person holding the camera recording her while she's shooting starts stepping back further and further from the video. I don't know.
Got to play it safe.
Got to play it safe.
Yeah, that's right. All right, 7:15 in the morning, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Lots coming up today. You've heard me talk for several weeks now about a product called the Beacon Pro Act 200. It's this thing that helps test your sump pump. We're going to feature that as a Noodle Loo too, because it's a very interesting piece of technology and another way of a safeguard to make sure that your basement stays dry. And then, speaking of plumbing issues, we're going to talk to our friends from Plumbers 911. Are going to join us to talk about their organization and how they're trying to become the place where you go to find really high quality, well trained plumbers to come work in your home. And I see the whole list of different things I need to talk about. That hot dog thing, when is that? Is that coming up?
Oh, I forgot to print it for you. It's 2 weeks from today.
Oh, 2 weeks from today. So we'll talk about that. And friends of mine. Remember, Lindsay, how many years ago did we do the broadcast at the Hidden Shamrock?
Ooh, it was a while ago. But
was that fun?
Yes.
Right? Steve Bertrand came out to that. And a friend of mine, along with some partners, owns this place. It's their 30th anniversary coming up, and they have a big program coming up with Private Party. I'll give you some information on how you can buy tickets, because it also benefits the Boys Hope Girls and Hope of Illinois program if you'd like to attend. And real quick, I was on the first call with Steve Cochran on Friday, and a caller called in with a question about a ceiling fan, and the person wanted to install a remote control to the existing fan. And I had made mention that, you can buy these switch systems, but the remote systems, they're expensive, and I don't know that it's worth putting it there if the fans are really old. And right as I was disconnecting with Steve, I heard him say, an electrician called in and said, Lou's wrong. There are these remote control kits that are affordable. You can go to the big box stores and they sell them. And that electrician, though I don't know who it was absolutely right. Back, it's not anything that I check on a regular basis, but I quickly looked as well. And what this caller wanted to do was they have ceiling fans that I think it was a problem with the chains or they didn't want to replace them. There's a kit you can buy, and it's a similar kit to what you can do with a switch. It's a radio receiver that you mount in the bell of the ceiling fan. So you disconnect the wires to the power of the ceiling fan up at the ceiling. You connect the power lines to this receiver and then the receiver to the wires. And then you have a remote control, literally like a TV remote. And you can either hang it on the wall with a little sleeve that holds it in place, or you can sit on the couch, do whatever. $30. And it's similar to ones that they sell that instead of you have a remote, you actually mount the switch on there. And what's unique about those, or what's the benefit of it, is if you're hanging a ceiling fan where there's only two wires, meaning that it would be difficult to have a switch to turn on the light and the fan separately because you'd need a third wire, this accomplishes that just by that kit. So that electrician, whoever you are, thank you for that insight and for getting me off my keister to just check on that stuff and see how much cheaper that stuff is now than when I had quoted saying, it's like $100. It's like $30, and it's definitely worth it if that's something you need to do to kind of upgrade an existing fan. So I appreciate you giving that information. All right, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Jim is in Orland Park. Jim, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what's going on?
I got an air conditioner problem. Not really sure what to do. The unit's really not that old. Last year it worked really good. Well, this week I turned it on for the first time and there was hardly any air coming out of it. So I went downstairs, checked the filter. You know, that's what Ben do.
Yeah.
it was plugged up pretty well.
Honey, let me go down and check the filter.
Yeah, we got her. It was plugged up pretty well, so I changed it out and noticed there was some ice on this tube coming in. So I had a buddy who told me to shut it off and let it defrost down. We did. Turned it on the next day. Seemed to be working good. About an hour later,
iced out.
Same issue. Downstairs, ice. But I'll tell you, the filter was good the next day.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but it sure isn't the filter. I handled that one all on my own. Okay,
that's
so
right.
typically, Jim, when you start to see the ice, that's probably means you have a refrigerant leak. And you said it's not that old?
No, it's not. It's 5-7 years, okay. Probably.
So typically it's an issue with refrigerant, and so you need to have an HVAC company to come out and take a look at it. Depending on if it's a super slow leak, they may be able to. There is a, you know, like there used to be with the radiators, there's a leak stop that you can put inside there, and then they can recharge it with new refrigerant. But again, it depends. They can pressurize it and find out what's going on. It could be a connection, but it's a service call for sure. So you're down in Orland, you could call Dykstra Home Solutions.
Okay.
They're down in Tinley, so they're not too far from you. And it's Dykstra Home Solutions is their website. I'm just looking for their phone number. I don't have it off the top of my head here. Well, if you go to Dykstra Home Solutions on their website there, you can find it, get a service call out there, and they should be able to come out and help you out. Hang on a second. Since you're our first caller, let's get Jim an Espoma prize pack filled with the highest quality, most effective, and organic products for your lawn and garden. You do have the phone number?
I do.
Go ahead.
It's 844-371-3220.
One more time.
844-371-3220.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini on the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show with Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. I love this show.
I love you all.
I ain't asking what you do. No, 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 baby.
7:26 in the morning. Lynn is in Chicago. Hey, Lynn, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. How are you today?
I am fantastic.
I have a question about my wood floors.
Okay.
We just moved into a new condominium, and they have all the rooms have wood floors, and they're quite nice. They're maple-colored. And I have two questions. One, how do I determine whether it's actual real wood or laminate? And second of all, the previous tenants had children, so there's a lot of little nicks and scratches.
Mm-hmm.
And what would be the best way to clean them, and is Bono better than Rejuvenate?
Okay. Do you have any spots where it's not hardwood, where there may be a transition strip? Like, is there anything that's carpeted?
No, unfortunately.
Is there tile in a bathroom?
Marble, yes.
All right, and does the marble go right next to the wood, or is there some sort of transition strip, like a aluminum or brass?
Is a transition strip, a wood transition strip.
That is screwed into the top?
Glued.
That doesn't help me, Lynn. I need to be the only. I mean, for you to tell, I need to be able to see the edge of the wood somewhere.
Right, and that was kind of what we thought.
How about this? Wait, you're in a condo. Do you have a mechanical room?
No.
It's a high rise. Oh, it's a high rise. So you don't have your own furnace.
No.
You don't have
no
your own
no
water
we don't have
heater.
Anything. Yeah.
I would just sell the place. To look at it, if it's real wood or, I mean, if it's laminate and you went down and kind of knocked on it, you probably will feel that it's a little bit of a, well, how about this, a dishwasher? If you take the toe kick off the dishwasher, does the hardwood go into the kitchen as well?
My husband is walking around the kitchen as you speak, looking at...
aimlessly? Is he mumbling to himself too or no?
Yes, he is. He's...
Tell him I know what he's going through.
Mr. Lynn says, thanks, Lou.
Yeah, well, I've been there with him, so I know exactly what he's doing. Is there hardwood in the kitchen?
Yes.
Okay, so the toe kick on the toe kick.
Took it off, can't feel.
All right. Well,
he's very handy, by the way.
Well,
he's built two houses.
I'm
so
sure he is. I mean, other than the mumbling and walking around, I think it's fine. But maybe knock on it, see if you feel like there's a little bit of a flex. If there's a way you can see the edge of it, that would help you determine whether or not
right.
It's an engineered floor or not. So try and see if there's some spots where you may be able to notice that. Or
I think because all the finishes in this particular apartment are very good,
yeah.
My feeling is it's real wood.
Okay. So that being said, Those little nicks and scratches, this Rejuvenate product that they make is terrific.
It is Rejuvenate. Okay.
Yeah, I've used the
bottles at the local A.
Yeah, I've used it a couple.
One by one.
I've used it a couple times. They have a synthetic mop head that you'll use over the top of it, and you clear out the rooms, and you kind of put it down, and you go have a nice long lunch, and you come back, and within a couple of hours, you can walk on it with socks, and after overnight, you can put the furniture back, and it really does take care of the little bitty scratches, and it helps take care of the little nicks here and there, and it will help bring the shine back as well. So just follow the instructions on the bottle to a T, and you'll get terrific looking results. Thanks so much for the phone call. 7:29 in the morning. We'll be right back.
Dad, I met a man in Rome, and he's wonderful and brilliant, and we're getting married.
That's a beautiful name, Myrna. I love that.
I love you, Lou.
I love you, Myrna.
I love you more.
He's more than just a pretty face. Now back to Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. When I need
motivation. All right, so Doma T doesn't know anything about Brad Paisley. You've probably never seen the movie Father of the Bride.
I have not. Why didn't they call it Dad-in-Law?
I don't know. It's good. It's a good movie.
Fewer syllables.
I'm convinced it was filmed in Wilmette.
If your heart tells you,
maybe so. Maybe I'm thinking of Home Alone, which was in Evanston.
No.
I don't know.
Some was Wilmette. Sadie goes.
Okay, 312-981-72. But first, I got to tell you about my crazy dream. So, you know, I'm doing this for those of you that are listening. Before I do the show here on WGN, I do a show in New York from here. And so I'm always so nervous I'm not going to get up because of the time thing. And I've been setting two alarms. And so I have I have the most awesome alarm clock ever called the QB Time that I found. Remember, we featured it as a Noodaloo 2. Everyone should have this alarm clock, Doma T. It's a hotel alarm clock that comes in it's like a little square box. And it's heavy, has this big honking cord. And on top of it, it has two plugs, so you can plug in your devices, and two USB ports, too. So you could, like, launch the space shuttle from this thing. And it's a simple alarm clock with a dial. All you do is you go, poosh, and you turn it, and it says, whatever, 4 a.m., whatever time you're going to get on. The only problem is it's an alarm. Like, it's, womp, 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 you know what I mean? So it wakes you up. So obviously I don't want to have my lovely bride have to get up with me. So I turn my phone on and I set my phone for the time I want to get up. And I set the alarm for 5 minutes later, right, as a backup.
I do the same thing.
Okay,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think I must have turned the volume down on my alarm or something, and because it was the alarm clock that woke me up. And when I woke up, I'm like, oh, wow, it's 5 minutes later. What's going on? And I look at my phone and it was going off, but I didn't hear it. But I think while it was going off, this is my crazy dream. I'm dreaming that I'm fixing a toilet in a hotel room and I have roommates like I'm in college and the toilet is overflowing from the ground and I pull the toilet to get the water fixed and my rolling bag is in the bathroom too and it's all wet. I'm like, oh man, this stinks. And then this friend of mine who's a neighbor who's not even a close friend of mine, but he says, oh, you got to go down to the health club and shower there. And I'm like, yeah, because I got to go to this meeting. And then all of a sudden I'm in this meeting. Get this. I'm sitting around a table with Donald Trump and all these other people. And he's like giving me all these things to do. And I'm writing all this down of what I have to do. Wait, it gets better. So then the meeting's over and I'm running home. And I'm running along Route 41 from Lake Forest, heading north. And I'm talking to my wife on the cell phone, heading south. No, because it was. I do remember because I know that Route of 41. It's from Park Avenue, right? Park Avenue right there. Right?
By the Target.
No, not by the Target.
On Park 41. Keep going.
There's no Target. Not Park Avenue. Well, Elm.
Ah.
Elm.
Ah, yes.
Right there, okay? Where Lou's garage is.
Yes.
You know where I'm going. And I'm running, and I'm talking to my wife. I'm on my way. And who's running behind me? David Letterman. Okay, I know. Wait, it gets better. Then all of a sudden, we're on this pile of sand, David Letterman and I, walking over this pile of sand, and then we stop, and I turn, and Oprah's there, and she says something to me, and then my alarm goes off.
What did Oprah say?
I don't remember.
Oh, man.
But it was Oprah.
That was the
and
key
David
to your
Letterman.
Dream.
Right.
That was the key. You've got to figure out what Oprah said.
I never dream. I had one drink last night. I had one drink last night. Is that crazy?
That is nuts.
You can't make that up.
I know what it was. Didn't
what?
You say you left the gas on in your grill? The gas got to your head.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So then in the middle of the night, right. So in the, at 11 o'clock before I went to sleep, my son, Max, comes up 11:30. I'm asleep. Hey, a smoke alarm went off. And I go, my wife doesn't even know this. She knows this now. And I go, oh, okay, hold on. And I go down. And so I go, which one? And I change the batteries. And I go, you know, if you hear it beep, Max, I go, you know, just a quick beep. Usually that means it's the batteries. It's not the, you know, the alarm. So you don't have to worry this and that. This morning I go to leave. I left the grill on. We had friends over for a little barbecue. I left the grill on all night. And I wonder.
Got to your head.
The grill set off the smoke alarm.
Wow.
Like as it was cooking off the goodness that I had grilled on it.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure. So gassy sleep makes you dream of toilets and Donald Trump.
Donald Trump and David Letterman and Oprah.
And Oprah.
Running. I was running up 41 talking to my wife on the phone. And then David Letterman is behind me. Didn't have a beard.
A lot of information
Just
gave us.
Right? Right? That is some weird stuff. Here's Carrie in Sycamore. You think this is weird? It says here, Carrie, that your walls are oozing.
Well, effervescing. First of all, you got to lay off the Manhattans and spicy food before bed, man.
I did have a little spicy food, which remind me to tell you about my cauliflower on the grill recipe. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. So I actually called you about 2 years ago. I live in a house that was built. I've lived here for about 4 years. House built in about 1896.
Wow.
And it's got fieldstone. The foundation is fieldstone walls, and then the interior, it's just brick. It's painted inside, and I called it 2 years ago. It was effervescing, even through some of the paint.
Right.
And basically, you said if you want to clean it up, use CLR. No big deal till it becomes a deal. Well, now what's happening is around where the bricks, mostly it's the interior bricks, not the fieldstone, where they meet door jams, where they're kind of exposed maybe a little bit, where they're not painted, and they can see the atmosphere, oxygen, and moisture. They're effervescing. I saw some piles on the floor next to there. I'm like, oh my God, do I have termites? No, it's just the effervescent stuff, but it's trapped behind the paint. So in these areas, I can actually push on the paint,
right.
And the paint's kind of, the latex is kind of bulged out,
right.
And there is a layer of that stuff. And I'm like, oh boy, but I took an awl. I'm like, no, the brick's still good. But my first question is this a structural issue that will be a problem if I don't address it, or just vacuum up the junk and ignore it, or what, you know?
Those door jams, Carrie, are original as well?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so you have, you know, layers of oil-based paint from a gazillion years ago.
Yep.
And that efflorescence and the moisture, and to your point where it's exposed a little bit, it absorbs a little bit more moisture than the other parts. It's just backing up and hitting against that film. And that's where that bubbling is coming from.
Mm.
So it's based on your description, I don't think that it's a structural issue other than the fact that with that efflorescence, as the mortar starts to, you know, break away and become softer, that poses the structural issue. And so if you're noticing around those areas where, you know, if you can take you take a little screwdriver and you start kind of poking at that mortar, and if you can, without a lot of pressure, kind of push in, then that whole area needs to get tuck pointed. I mean, it's got to be put.
Okay.
It has to be put back together. The bubbling of the paint and stuff is just a moisture thing. Now, keep in mind, it's lead paint. So, do you have any children in the home?
No.
Okay.
No, just dogs and cats. But it's just me in the basement, which is dry as bone. There's no moisture issues.
Right.
But no kids. Yeah, no kids, no pets down here. So yep.
But I mean, just if you go to scrape that away, you want to make sure that you wear a mask. It stays well ventilated, and then you dispose of it properly. Then once you do all that, maybe even you know, from a tuck pointing perspective, if you can take a little bit of the trim off so you can expose a little bit more of the brick, you know, where if you were able to take the trim off and leave the jam, it might be in such a situation where you could scrape out some of that mortar and then go ahead and tuck point that again with new mortar to maintain the structural integrity of the wall.
And who would do so? And actually, I've got one other issue on the outside. So who would do such a job?
So something like that would be a tuck pointer, you know, somebody that does exterior work as well. And so that's who I would hire for that. And what's the other issue?
No, I think that's it. No, that was it. Yeah, that's it. Well, the other issue was, no, I've got where the, there's an entrance to come into the basement. I think it used to be a coal chute, and that's out, kind of outside, but there's two doors. And there's some mortar going bad. Yeah.
So out by you, you know, there's a couple ways to go. You can go to the NARI website, which is NARI.org, or you can find some local contractors out there. You're looking for a tuck pointer. They'll come in, do this, clean it all up, get the integrity of the mortar all set for you, and then hopefully the same people can put that trim back for you. And then you could, you know, if you want, could do the painting part of it and put it all together. Appreciate the phone call. 7:50 in the morning. Quick break when we come back. It's our new Tolu 2 to help keep sure that your sump pump keeps working when you need it. Don't go away. All right, 7:54 in the morning. Time now for our new Tolu 2. You may have heard me speaking for the last several weeks about this Beacon Pro Act 200, and they've been trying to get the word out about what this product is. It's really kind of unique. Here's Lindsay to tell you more.
Sump pumps and battery backup systems are only good if they work. Unfortunately, it's only a matter of time before your primary pump, backup pump, or battery backup fails. That is exactly why this weekend's new Tolu 2 was developed. The Beacon Pro Act 200 system automatically tests and monitors your sump pump installation and alerts you when there is a problem before there is a problem. The Pro Act 200 is not a pump itself, but a device that you can install on your new or existing sump pump to test the pump's functionality. It conducts weekly tests of single and dual sump pump installations by admitting fresh water into the sump pit. The Beacon Pro Act 200 monitors the installation 24/7 to provide audible and visual alerts for mechanical and electrical sump pump failures, power interruptions, and high water levels. And of course, what device would be complete without Wi-Fi connectivity, sending you alert emails or notifications to your phone? It works with all conventional single AC pump, dual AC pump, and combined AC and battery backup sump pump installations without modification of the pump itself. Beacon recommends installation by or under the supervision of a plumbing contractor, so not really a DIY project. The unit goes for about $670, so a bit of an investment, but hey, if you've ever dealt with a sump pump failure, you know that that is chump change compared to what you could be spending. And if you haven't ever dealt with a sump pump failure, I can attest, it ain't fun. You can find out more at sumptest.com or visit Lou's Facebook page. I'll put all the information up for you to take a look at. That's this week's New Tolu 2.
And our New Tolu 2 is sponsored by Dave Thompson's Organic Healthy Grow Fertilizers. I'm sending you a picture of me and my lovely wife, and I'm wearing a Dave Thompson's Organic Healthy Grow t-shirt. Anyway, this product is an interesting one, and the fact that it is a monitoring system that makes sure that your system's working on a bright, sunny day. Because the thing is, when it fails, the only way you know that it fails is when you go sloshing down to the basement and it's full of water. And then you call PermaSeal and they come fix it all. But this is a – remember when we had the double D pump?
Oh, I do.
It was the Genesis 2 something double D. We used to call it the double D. Mm-hmm. They had a whole system where you bought the double pumps and their system, and it monitored it, and it was a whole thing, and it tested the pumps, and there they had two pumps, and it's really a neat item, but it was super expensive. This one with the Beacon Pro works with your existing system. You do need a backup with it, and but it monitors the system and will send you like a test thing. So on a Tuesday afternoon, on a day like today, it'll say, "Hey, Lindsay, your sump pump's working," and then you won't have to call me at 10 o'clock at night. I can't believe that story didn't make it into the thing.
Well, Lou, we only had 90 seconds on that one.
we
that was a fun
that was many years ago in your condo that you and your husband, we're not sure if you were married or not. You're married.
I don't know. But
Wait a minute. You were living together and you weren't married?
Ooh.
It was two bedrooms, right? You had separate bedrooms?
Upstairs, downstairs.
Right. Exactly. And your basement flooded because of a pump issue. It was a basement.
It was like a whole,
it was a saga.
Yeah.
And I was like cleaning out your, that is love right there. 10 o'clock at night on, I think, a Friday.
December 6th, cold winter's eve.
Right. And I remember that.
Remember you came and like you had like a red and black checkered Elmer Fudd hat on.
Oh, yeah. I love
and
that
you had
hat.
Your toolbox and you knock at the door. Louis
Hello,
here.
It's the plumber's here. I've come to fix the sink.
Thank God.
And
for
I remember
you.
Poor David, who is this huge. There was
clean
like that giant bubble.
Yeah.
We didn't know what it was, and I said, I don't know where this water's coming from, and there was this huge bubble. I said, I'm going to have to open this up to see what's going on, and I took the hammer and I hit it once, and just all this water came
right under our carpeting,
crashing down, and oh my gosh, I thought David was going to kill me, but then we figured out it was a problem with a clog and a pump, and so we. We figured it out.
Huge project. Had we had something like
this. I'm a good guy to know. I'm a good guy to have as your friend.
I know. Yeah. Trust me.
I remember I said to my wife, I go, Lindsay and David, it's like they got this flood. And wait, you had tickets to go somewhere or something?
Oh, yeah, David. I had given David the okay to get these Bulls tickets that night that were so expensive because there was some player that he really wanted to see from another team, and he's like, oh, these great seats, I've got them here, and they're this row, and can I get them? Fine. So
you never went?
No, we couldn't go. He's
right.
Like, let's just go, it'll be fine. I don't know, I feel like this is gonna explode here, we're gonna come home, house is gonna be underwater,
which it would have exploded had we not figured out that what it was is that the pump was the ejector pump. Water was spilling into the ejector pump from all the rain, and the pipe going out to the city was clogged. Mm-hmm. And so the pump was pumping all the water, and it was backing up to your first floor bathroom and overflowing the toilet on through the ceiling and down. We couldn't figure out why the water was coming back up that way until I finally deduced it.
I never figured. I still don't know what happened. Thank you for that refresher.
That was a mess. I remember all that black stuff in the tub, and I was like, oh, we got a thing. And I'm going, that's the part of plumbing. I love plumbing. I love the whole thing about how plumbing works. But that kind of nasty part of it, we're going to talk to the people from Plumbers 911. I'm sure they'll give us all kinds of stuff coming up later on. This is Ellie in Skokie. Ellie, you're on WGN. Good morning.
You're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show.
I've got a lot of questions. Eventually, we're going to sell the house. Not while my husband is still here, because he'll stay here forever. He won't empty out the basement.
With Lou Manfredini.
But I'm planning ahead.
Wait, are you listening to what you just said?
On Chicago's very own.
Right. Okay. I mean, in the world.
720 WGN.
She can say in her voice, in her way, that she loves me.
Welcome back. 8:10 in the morning. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show, brought to you by wetandforget.com and by Fox Home Center. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Coming up after 8:30 this morning, we're going to talk to the folks over at Plumbers 911 about their organization and what it is they're trying to do to make sure that you're hiring the right plumbers to come work inside your home. So that'll be interesting. Nice group of good contractors. And by the way, next week, I'm going to be live on Saturday, June 10th, from 7 to 10 a.m. at Wanamaker's Home and Garden Center in Downers Grove. Join our barbecue broadcast, all in support of Operation Barbecue Relief. There's plenty of chances to win prizes throughout the show as well. Wanamaker's Home and Garden is located at 1940 Ogden Avenue in Downers Grove. Visit the WGNradio.com/events page for more details. So that'll be a lot of fun. Looking forward to seeing all of you out there on that remote. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Paula in Downers Grove. Paula, have you been to Wanamaker's?
Oh, all the time.
All the time.
All the time,
all right, so when I drive out that way, which I do sometimes, what am I getting? I'm taking I-88. What am I getting off at?
You're getting off at Highland.
Oh, okay. And heading west?
Highland goes north and south. So you're going to turn.
Like I said, north and south.
south.
Okay.
If you go south to Ogden Avenue, take a right, and in a couple, more than a couple blocks, you'll hit Wanamaker's.
Got it. Thank you for the directions. I always see it when I drive by it on 88. It's right there, and I'm like, wait, how do I get there? There you go.
It's a little more challenging if you take a turn off of I-88 at that point.
Correct.
It's a little impossible.
How can I help you?
So here's my dilemma. I'm in a townhouse development that has about 100 houses, and they're about 30 years old, aluminum sided. Last year, there was a company going around, and the deal was that they would work with your insurance company, homeowners insurance company, and he must have done like 15 houses this way, where they pay the deductible and they get a whole new resided house.
Mm-hmm.
And so my question for you is, I would never work with this company because they don't even have a decent website. But is there a downside to me calling my insurance company and telling them this and saying, can you take a look at my house? And if I do have it resided, if somebody decides it, then does that mean my rates go up? Obviously, I've never made a homeowner's claim
right.
in 30-some years.
Right. Well, I mean, I think that there's always, when it comes to insurance, making any kind of claim obviously affects, rates. And so, I mean, that's probably something that you discuss first with your, do you have an insurance agent? Are you with a company that has agents?
Well, yeah, I do. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I would have that conversation and say, well, let's back up. Do you have any damage to the siding?
It's just that it's, kind of old and faded, but it's not damage I can see.
Right. But in other words, this company that's coming along and saying, we're going to do this and you're going to make a claim because there was hail in the area?
Well, I mean, over 30 years, I'm sure there's been hail. And that was my question for them, is that they actually, on behalf of the homeowner, negotiate with the insurance company.
Right.
So.
Right. It sounds like a little ambulance chasing. So, here's the thing is that, whenever there's a big storm and there's hail damage to a roof or siding, if it's real damage, then that is something that your insurance, that's the reason why you pay insurance. And if all of a sudden you're looking at your development going, or you're looking at your property rather and saying, geez, this doesn't look that good. I wish it looked nicer. And boy, that storm came through and really made a damage. And that is a legitimate claim. But to have some contractor that might be some sort of, typically insurance companies have these contractors that they work with who are legit, that come
right.
out and assess the issue. And so they might be doing everything within the parameters of what the rules are for the insurance company. But, the thing is, Paula, is you make a claim and all of a sudden, they do $6,000-$7,000 worth of work on your home that the insurance company has to pay. And then when it comes time to renewal, they say, well, boy, Paula, this and that, we got to do an increase. I mean, there's going to be increases always. But now all of a sudden, you're paying $100 more a year or whatever it is. So to me, it's this. If there's no damage and it doesn't look bad, then I wouldn't do it. Now, there could be damage that you don't know about on the roof if there was some sort of weather event that they're taking advantage of. So what I would recommend, if you want to just check this out, start with your insurance agent and say, hey, are you writing a lot of claims in our area because of whatever? And they're going to tell you right away, oh, yeah, we've got a lot of claims, a lot of damage, this and that. If they're going to say we're going to send out a contractor to take a look, then ask them to send out more than one so that you can get multiple opinions
yeah.
on what's going on. And then you
exactly.
can decide. But, I'm not one that is making a claim just for the sake of making a claim, because quite frankly, that hurts all of us, not just you, but the insurance should be there for legitimate losses. And you see these terrible storms that happen to people where they lose everything. I want to make sure that the money is there for those people. And then if I have a legitimate claim on my house or you have a legitimate claim, it's there for you. But I don't want to ever, hear about people that are trying to take advantage of the system. So start with your insurance agent, have them come out and send you multiple people to look at it, and then you can make a decision that's right for you. Appreciate the phone call. Let's talk to Gary, who's in Oak Park. Gary, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Yeah. Two problems.
Yes, sir.
Electrical box that's in the closet. I turn on a switch, and it trips the breaker. What's the problem?
You have an electrical box in a closet.
Right.
You mean your electrical
closet light.
Right.
And it trips the switch.
It trips the breaker.
Right.
Okay, and it's just a standard switch.
Well, it's a push button type. It's from the 60s.
Okay. Well, if it's an old Pushmatic, it could be that you need a new breaker. Or there could be a short. I would start with the switch. So you could have a short in the switch. Does that switch turn? Is it a single pole, meaning that it's just one switch for one light, or is there another switch on the other side too?
There's another switch on the other side also.
All right. So, and it doesn't matter which one you throw?
Just the one in the closet.
So if you go do the other switch, it doesn't blow the breaker.
Correct.
All right. So I would start with replacing that switch first. So the breaker that turns off, I'd turn it off, pull that switch out. Is this something you're going to do?
No, I'm going to get an electrician. All right. Are you kidding? Because I'm going to put in a new breaker box, too.
Oh, well, okay. Well, I would start with the switch. Could be a short in that if it's an older switch. How old is the home?
67.
Okay. So it could be, switches go bad, and there can be a short inside the device itself that could be, it could be as simple as that. When they do that, if you're going to put a new breaker box in and go with, regular breakers and get rid of the Pushmatics, all that can be addressed as well. But that's what I would start with is the switch.
Okay. Do you recommend anyone in Oak Park?
I don't have a specific recommendation for you there. What I'll tell you is if you go to the NARI website, NARI, NARI.org, you can type in your zip code. You can find an electrician that works in your area, and you can get some bids from there. I don't know anybody specifically that works there, but that's a great place to start, and you'll find some good resources there. Appreciate the phone call. It's 8:19 in the morning. You're listening to Lou Manfredini, the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. Don't go away. Frank, you're on WGN. Good morning.
You're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show.
I'm a part-time bartender, and we have a problem with fruit flies. I pour a drink, and all of a sudden there's a fruit fly in his drink. He won't drink it. So I said, well, they're not that bad, so if I like to drink, I'll drink it myself, but I can only drink.
Hey, look, mister. We save hard drinks in here for men who want to get drunk fast, and we don't need any characters around to give the joint atmosphere. Is that clear?
Now back to your host, Lou Manfredini, on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hey, if you want to do some drinking tonight, I've got an opportunity for you. Look at Lindsay. She just sat up straight in her chair. A while back, we did a live broadcast from the Hidden Shamrock, which is on Halstead near Diversey. Which is a great Irish bar that's been, it's celebrating its 30th anniversary. A friend of mine, Jack O'Donnell, is one of the owners, and I got information about this fundraiser they're having tonight, and you can go there have a really fun time. Here it is, $100 per person. It's an entry fee, which includes unlimited top-shelf booze and amazing food from 7 to midnight. There's going to be a live DJ and giveaways as well. You don't want to miss this party because the proceeds from the event, as well as a 50-50 raffle, is going to benefit the Boys Hope and Girls Hope of Illinois organization. It's a private party, so tickets are required to enter. So if you'd like to go, it's tonight. If you're looking for something fun to do, it's a great place. They just remodeled it. It's one of my most favorite fun places that I don't go to enough. It's like whenever I go there, it's one of those places, Lindsay, you go to and you're like, why don't I come here more? It's so fun. You can email Kara at thehiddenshamrock.com, K-A-R-A at thehiddenshamrock.com. Will you put a picture up of the Hidden Shamrock and put it up on the Facebook page as well? So if you want more information, we'll put it up there as well. And speaking of restaurants and such, I don't know if I mentioned this to you, but our daughter Carmen is out in California for the summer. She's actually interning at the Conan O'Brien show, which, by the way, Brian Noonan's daughter is as well. Did I tell you that?
No.
Brian Noonan's daughter.
So they're working together.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
And they don't know each other. I mean, they do now, but.
And I can't imagine that it's easy to get that internship.
I have nothing to do with it. She did it all on her own.
It's not, let me tell you. Well, so the fact that both of them got in at the
amazing.
Same time, it's crazy.
So they're out in L.A., and she's out in L.A., as well as Brian Noonan's daughter. And Mallory and Mary Beth went to go out to see her last week, a quick little trip to go see her because she had some time off. A couple days, you know, they were off. And Lindsay gave a bunch of people gave recommendations on where they go to dinner. Mallory's like, oh, we went to all these great places. Lindsay gave us this great recommendation because you used to live in Los Angeles.
I did.
And the name of the restaurant was?
Dan Tana's.
Dan Tana's. So they send me a picture of Dan Tana's. Now, Doma T has no idea who Dan Tana is.
No idea.
I don't even know who I could talk to on this show that would know who Dan Tana is. Nobody. Okay. Dan Tana was a character from a television show, I'm going to say in the 80s, 90s. He was a private investigator, and he lived in his garage, or he had like this garage that was his apartment, and he used to drive this Thunderbird into his place. Hmm. Like the garage door would open up. The television show was called Vegas, and I'm pretty sure the actor was Robert Urich. Anyone? Bueller?
I'm sure you're going to get texts, but
right?
I've been going there for years, and I never knew.
Years, and I said to Mary Beth, I go, Dan Tana? I go, he was a TV character. She goes, oh, yeah, there's all this TV stuff up on the walls and stuff, like all these pictures.
Oh, well, I thought they were just people that had, like, local or celebrities that had been there. I didn't realize that it was from the show.
Right. So now I want to go.
Anyway,
I said it was really good.
It's a delicious.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. Denise is in Palos Hills. Hi, Denise.
Hi, Lou. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay.
How can I help you?
I have a question about, I live in a condominium, and we're going to repave our parking lot.
Okay.
And I'm wondering what the proper amounts of crushed stone and gravel should be.
In a perfect world, if you're going to do this the right way,
mm-hmm.
you want 6 inches of compacted stone.
Compacted stone.
And you want 3 inches of compacted asphalt.
Compacted asphalt.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the perfect mix. And so when you go to the, you know, these get these bids from these contractors, you know, they can go and do a test hole or whatever and say, well, you've got 4 inches of asphalt. Or you already have 6 inches. And so we're going to add to it and we're going to, you know, make sure that it's all compacted. But the industry standard for the best mix is 6 and 3.
Now they should take everything away and just start new then, right?
Well, I mean, you may already have 6 inches there, or maybe you have, in other words, depending on, they're going to take away the old asphalt. They're going to take that out.
Yeah.
Then they're going to find out how much stone you have. So let's say that you have 4 inches, and you've got enough. You've got enough in the landscaping to be able to add another 2 without having to take more out. That would be mm-hmm. okay if it all works out with the grading. That's the key element there. But if otherwise, they'd have to dig down more. And the problem with that is, Denise, it costs a lot of money to do all that digging. So mm-hmm. it, you know. Like I said, the perfect world, it's 6 and 3. If you can only get 4 and 3, then, you know, while it's not the perfect world, life's not perfect. Still pretty good.
But do you have anybody you could recommend?
Oh, gosh. We're talking about a big area?
Yeah, 11,600 square feet.
You know, you need the big guys like Ravine Paving and... is one of the big ones. I'm trying to think of the other guy. That'll come to me. But you need big commercial asphalt guys. It'll come to me. There's another big one that we used when we did our Queen of All Saints parking lot. Did a very nice job. Quick break, and then we'll get to news. What?
Ooh,
yes?
Can I play Mama Bear really quick for just a second to your lovely daughter, Carmen? We got a text from somebody after you talked about how she got this wonderful internship that said, "Oh yeah, Lou, you had nothing to do with your daughter's internship with Conan. There's so much nepotism at WGN, it's sickening. I will always admire the kids who get the jobs on their own." Let me tell you, pal, this girl worked her butt off, and she did get this job on her own. As did she, the Dr. Oz show that she did last semester, which, Lou, we've been in touch with the Dr. Oz show, and never during that time did we even mention that your daughter is an intern on that show at the time. So.
Wow, you're like claws out.
Yeah. Well, I'm so proud of her that she did this, I admire her so much, so I just wanted to.
All right, put the claws away. It's fine. Doesn't matter. She did it on her own. We know it. Quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
Just a minute. I have to tell you, I went to Menards, and I got a hold of a guy in the paint section, and he said, "Oh, I listen to Lou Manfredini all the time. And don't get anything else because you won't be satisfied because Lou told you so."
Some nights I stay up, cashing in my bad luck. Some nights I call it a draw.
8:40 in the morning.
Some nights I wish that my lips could build a castle.
Lou Manfredini here, the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN.
But I still wake up, I still see.
Thanks so much for listening.
Oh Lord, I'm still not sure.
Being part of our Saturday mornings. Hey, I know John Williams has been off this week. Is he on today or no? Somebody filling in for him? Do we know?
Well, I haven't gotten my morning donut, so I'm going to say he's off today.
He might be moving, right? Well, he's moving here, but he might be moving as we're packing or maybe taking time off. Who knows? Somebody will tell us. Anyway, somebody's going to come on after me at 10 o'clock this morning. We'll find out who that is. You may have heard over the last several weeks, maybe even more than that, I suppose a few months or so, the folks from Plumbers 911, and they've been doing this little feature called Ask Your Plumber, where they're talking about different services and things that they offer. Joining me on the phone line right now is Rudy. Rudy, say your last name.
It's Mahalik.
Mahalik. It's Irish, right?
Yeah. Not very green blood.
No. How are you, Rudy?
I'm very fine.
Rudy, tell me a little bit about this organization, Plumbers 911 Chicago.
Well, Plumbers 911 Chicago is an affiliation of Chicagoland area plumbing contractors. And the beauty of this is we're available 24/7. All of our people are drug tested and background checked. For customers' protection. And when you call plumbers911chicago.com, you will be referred to a local plumber in your area that can handle your problem.
So this is a big issue. You know, I've been talking on the radio a long time, and, you know, if I had a nickel for every time everybody said, "I need a really good this," or "I need a really good that," and, you know, different organizations have come along, you know, contractor, different organizations where, you know, you call this company and you get a list of all these different contractors. But you guys, the kind of the uniqueness of what this is most of the contractors that are part of your organization have been around for a long time.
That's for sure. You know, and all of our employees go through a 5-year apprenticeship. So they are seasoned people. When they walk in your door, you're getting somebody who knows what they're talking about.
I know that you have your own plumbing firm as well. What's that firm?
It's PDM. We're a plumbing and heating company, primarily in the southwest suburbs.
Right.
Joliet, Will County, Southern DuPage, that kind of thing. And talking about being around a long time, that's us. We were formed in 1885, so that's 132 years ago.
Holy cow, they didn't even have plumbing back then.
They did.
But the point is that what your company is an example of, there's a lot of different contractors. These are, for many people, they are names, companies that they would recognize. But as you know, people a lot of times don't pay attention until they need the problem. And they're like, "What's the name of that plumber up there that so-and-so used," or whatever. And now the whole idea behind this, and Well, perhaps one of the things that might be a little confusing, though you're using the Plumbers 911, it isn't just for emergency calls. Your service is not just for that.
No, no. In fact, most of the calls come in during regular working hours, obviously. But things happen on the weekend or at night, and if you know if it's a true emergency, give us a call. We can help.
Right. Some of the services that your contractors that are part of this organization would cover. Give me some examples of the types of things that your contractors that are part of this program would be able to accomplish.
Well, you know, it's anything from sewer cleaning to hot water heater repair or replace to bathroom remodeling.
So even a full service, some of the contractors offer that as well.
Yes, absolutely.
How about septic service?
You know, that's going to vary firm by firm. It's kind of a specialty item because you need a large pumper truck.
Right.
Well, you know, that's going to be a hit and miss kind of thing.
Depending on where you live.
That's correct.
But the whole idea, I would imagine, then, you know, you mentioned that you're down south, and so if somebody contacts Plumbers 911, and they live down in, you know, Joliet, well, then they're going to be referred to you. But if they live way up north, or, I mean, tell me, I guess this is important.
Based on zip code.
Yeah, and what's the coverage area that you guys are kind of covering?
It's whatever we normally would cover. You know, so basically the Plumbers 911 organization has contractors that go all the way south of us in Joliet and all the way north to Wisconsin.
Oh, do you? Okay, that's what I meant. And then even and then west as well, right? So
yeah,
it's a group all over the place.
Absolutely.
Right. Well, I mean, I think that it's a smart idea from a standpoint of, you know, there's a lot of guys running around in pickup trucks that, you know, maybe aren't licensed, don't have the type of training. And when it comes to this, you know, plumbing is one of those things that is a health and safety issue, and it has to be done correctly. And I think you mentioned about the years of training. Everyone's licensed. Everyone's insured. You mentioned the drug testing. You know who's coming through the door, and these companies have been around a long time.
Yeah, it's, you know, as you say, it's difficult to pick a contractor if you haven't had a need. You know, you're faced with who's the good guy to use.
Right.
This is sort of a screening mechanism that gets you the good guy the first time.
That's great.
Local in your area.
That's great. Now tell me, so then for those listening, the website and the phone number, and we'll put this up on our Facebook page as well.
It's plumbers911chicago.com will get you the website.
Okay.
And I don't have the phone number memorized. I'm sorry. I should have that.
We'll get that because there's a lot of people.
I rarely call myself.
Yeah, right, exactly. There should be. We'll put that 800 number. I'll give that out because for a lot of people, they prefer doing that and talking to somebody on the phone to figure that out. Rudy Mihalik is talking to us about Plumbers 911 Chicago, a great organization that's there to provide you with licensed and bonded plumbing contractors servicing the Chicagoland area. Rudy, I appreciate you calling this morning.
Nice talking to you, Lou.
Take care. Appreciate it.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah. What is that? No, I wanted the phone number for Plumbers 911 Chicago. But thank you. We'll find that phone number. There is an 800 number. I think they give that out in their spots. I just haven't, I don't have that. Rudy and I don't have it memorized.
I do.
What is it?
855-484-3911.
855-484-3911. Does it spell anything?
It spells, I can spell something.
It doesn't spell like got a leak. That would be good. Got a leak? 855 got a leak.
It's
3911
for Plumbers 911.
Oh, that's like, I like that. Yeah. Got it. Very good. Well, thank you to Rudy for calling in this morning. There's a bunch of good people that are part of that organization. So if you need a plumber, give them a call. 8:48 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with you. We'll get back to your phone calls right after these.
Now back to Lou Manfredini on the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Right. My AI
just changed. It just 8:53 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with you. How many more days could I wait? 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Here's Paula in Chicago. Hi, Paula.
Hi, Lou. Thanks for taking my call. My girlfriend, Sue, said you are the man to talk to. She listens to you, my cubby buddy, every Saturday.
I love Sue. That's so nice. Thank you, Sue.
I'm having window trouble.
All right.
I have a home that's over 100 years old.
Wow.
And I have the old-fashioned metal storm windows.
Okay.
And I had the one in my kitchen and the two in my bedrooms changed with Belmont vinyl windows. And I can hear everything on the street, like if the cars are in my room. So I called the guy back who is a roofer and told him about my problem. They came and they replaced the one in the bedroom that I currently use with a heavier one that they use for around by the airports. It's still very noisy because I'm used to the storm windows.
Right. Well, and then,
any suggestions?
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. That extra layer that you get with the storm window, that break is what's giving you some additional sound attenuation.
Okay.
And so now when you went to, I mean, the fact that they came in and did a little denser material and changed it out, I'm sure it improved it a little bit, but not enough.
Yeah. No.
For that particular window, as crazy as it sounds, if you want to try and get back to where you were, you're going to have to install additional storm window.
Okay. Now, I have no problem with putting the storm window on the outside. The guy told me now he got really kind of nasty with me and told me that, well, the only thing you can do is brick it up.
No. Well,
I'm
mean,
like, no.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is this. I mean, I don't know, you know, who you use. That's neither here nor there. But the fact is, windows, no matter whose windows they are, and they can be storm windows, they can be hurricane windows or sound attenuation windows, the glass is still going to let in more sound, no matter what, than a wall.
Sure.
Period, the end.
Right.
And so without that extra layer of that air gap, you know, what's happening is the sound hits, you know, and that's a vibration, a sound that comes through. It hits that glass, and that vibrates and creates the sound waves, and then now it hits that air gap before it hits your windows. The one thing I'll tell you is, if you did a storm window, I would assume your old windows were probably single pane?
Yes.
Right. So it should be that if you added a storm window on the outside, it'd actually be even quieter because now you have thermal pane, as long as it's all caulked correctly and everything.
Okay. And there's no problem with heat or anything with in between, because I called a window company and they told me, oh, your windows could burn if you add on an extra storm window.
I don't know that they're going to burn, but which way does that window face?
That's heading south.
All right, so you're going to get a lot. And what about the overhang on the house?
I don't know what you mean by overhang.
I mean, do you have like a soffit or anything? I mean, how much direct sunlight do you get on that window? Is it all day?
No.
Yeah. I mean, here's the fact. Vinyl windows, you know, even the good ones, they expand and contract the most because of the material. By adding a storm window on there, there will be a heat gain in between the two. Are you someone that opens the windows?
Generally not.
Okay. So,
I have horrible neighbors on the side, so
that's
one of the reasons why I need, you know,
so you can
the
use
most soundproofing I can get.
Right. So if you put a storm window there, you can do a storm window with they do make windows with a low E coating on them.
Okay.
So that'll give you a little bit of a reflective coating on the glass, which will reflect some of the sun, and in something like that, since it's facing south, probably would make sense to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you should not have a problem at all. Nothing's going to burn. Don't worry about
that.
Okay. Yeah.
What kind of e-coating did you say, Lou? I'm sorry.
It's called it's a low, what they call a low E glass.
Low E glass.
Yeah, and so they have a coating over the top of that. And they have
And would I have to replace the entire window again?
No.
You
just order you know what, if you want to do a little investigation, go online and go to Larson.
Okay.
Larson makes storm doors, and they make storm windows, and then you can find a dealer around you that does installs them as well. Appreciate the phone call. It's 8:58 in the morning.
You're listening to
Lou Manfredini.
I'm Lou.
Don't we like to sing that song?
I think you're okay.
Lou Manfredini. Lou Manfredini.
Okay.
And the Mr. Fix-It Show.
This is a little brass stripping brush.
Okay.
If you need a little bit more aggressive.
I like the copper choir boy.
Choir boy. Chore boy.
Chore boy. Whatever.
Here he is now on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Well, no one told me about her.
Hi, everybody. Lou Manfredini. Welcome back. 9:09 in the morning, the Mr. Fix-It Show. This hour, the Mr. Fix-It Show, sponsored by Ace Hardware and by Rogers Roofing. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Have we found out who's coming up at 10? No? It's a well-oiled machine around here. Somebody's in at 10 o'clock. I'm happy to stay. Actually, I'm not. I got things to do. Frank's on the northwest side. Frank, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Lou. Great show.
Thank you.
Real quick, I used to watch that show, Vegas.
Dan Tana, remember? Dan Tana.
Yeah.
Okay.
He drove his car into the garage. I thought that was so cool.
It was a Thunderbird, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a Thunderbird. And then I think it's like spun around, so when he pulled out, you just had to go drive out.
That's right. All right. Now, hold on. I was thinking about this. As I'm thinking about this, because this is how my mind goes, it was Robert Urich. But wasn't Robert Urich also Spencer for Hire? Remember that show?
I do remember that show. I think he was, yeah, Spencer for Hire.
Right?
Then
Lindsay just left. I'm telling you what. Now, Domati doesn't know. He's too young. But Robert Urich, the late, great Robert Urich, right, because he's left us. He used to have this sidekick or like this guy that helped him, right? He was a private investigator. And he was this cool cat, this actor. Remember, he used to always go, Spencer. He used to always remember that guy?
Remember? Yeah, I do remember that guy.
He was like he was bald and he was really cool. And he drove like some big Cadillac or something. Spencer.
Big Cadillac, Spencer
for Hire. You got to look that one up, Domati. You're going to see some cool guys on that one. All right, how can I help you, Frank?
Yeah, I had my roof a full tear-off about 23, 24 years ago.
Okay.
And the shingles now are starting to curl up, I noticed, on the back porch area. I was just wondering, do I have to do another tear-off, or can I go right on top of that since it's only one layer?
I'm not a re-roof fan. Now, you can do it. It's allowed. But the thing is, to me, you're better value when you go to sell someday, Frank. If you re-roof that thing and the inspector comes and says, you got two roofs on this thing, that new buyer is going to come, and while it's legal and you can do it all and the roof will support it, there might be damage that you don't know about that's underneath there. And the value of a complete tear-off, in my opinion, is worth it. Yeah, it could be another $2,000, maybe even a little more, depending on the size of your roof, to do all that. But it's a better way to go.
Okay. And I noticed that when the first roof, the nails went through the wood.
Yeah.
And I could see it because my attic is not insulated. So.
Right.
And then sometimes in the winter times, I get that it's so cold that the
frost up.
Frost up on those.
Well, okay. So a couple things there. It doesn't bother me that the nails poke through, but but the moisture and the ice that you see is telling you need additional insulation in that attic space. So you need to control the moisture and the heat loss that happens up in that attic space, and that you can do by making sure you have the right amount of ventilation and the right amount of insulation in there as well to try and control it. Now, if you want to contact a couple of roofers, we've got a couple of good sponsors here. We got the folks at Lindholm Roofing and the people at Rogers Roofing, both very qualified roofing contractors, and get a couple bids and then decide, who you want to work with. So give them a call to get some estimates. Appreciate the phone call. This is Mary in Hawthorne Woods. Hi, Mary. You're on WGN.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Great. I'm having problems with water coming in around my windows and certain windows, depending where it's raining. Like, it rains really heavy. And I had spoke to somebody, and I had gotten something in my mail saying that the hardy plank that we have has been installed incorrectly, and therefore we might be getting water coming in. So I decided to call them, and they came out, and they said that water was coming in through some openings through the hardy plank. He said it wasn't installed right, that there should be a flashing behind each opening as they put each plank down on the siding.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if that's true or not. I mean, is there supposed to be a siding on that?
Well, in between first of all, so somebody just randomly put something in your mail.
Yes.
So somebody's driving around looking for the houses that were built with hardy plank and saying you have a problem. It isn't that hardy plank said that to you. It's just some guy driving
right
around. Right.
Yes. So yes. He's some kind of right siding person.
So right away, that's my red flag number one.
Right.
And typically with hardy plank, you know, there are some issues where installation is an issue. But there's not typically a piece of flashing that goes between each joint because there should be a gap. But at the windows, there should be flashing. But that isn't anything that has to do with the overall siding in the rest of the run of the house. Now you said you get the water comes in depending on how it's raining. You're not certain if it's coming from around the window or through the window.
It's coming like from, I think, around the window because it comes from the top.
Right.
And it, according to this guy, it sits on the top of the window because there's a little ledge on top of the window. And he had mentioned that perhaps it needed flashing there too. And so the water comes in right into the inside of the window and it just drips and drips and drips. It's like dripping in, inside the house.
All right. Two people I want you to call to get estimates so that you know who you're talking, you know, so that you're getting a decent advice on this. Okay. Rogers Roofing. 773-768-3022.
Okay.
And then Lindholm Roofing. And their number is 888-4-ROOFER. So call them up. Tell them you talk to me. You got this issue with this hardy. We think it's a flashing issue around the windows. Can you come out and take a look and give me a hand? And then they can come out and give you estimates to say, you know what, Mary, the flashing around these windows isn't right, and we can redo this and flash it correctly and reinstall. I mean, this is not an inexpensive proposition. Yeah. When did you have this siding done?
When the house was built, 2003.
Okay, so it was new construction.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So call them both, have them come out and take a look at it, and then see if they can assess it the right way. People that stuff in your mail and unsolicited saying you got a problem, it isn't that you don't, but I would always be leery about just trusting that first decision. You want to get multiple opinions on this stuff so that you can make an educated decision. Like Cy Sims used to say, an educated consumer is our best customer.
Covfefe.
C-O-V-F-E-F-E.
Read that again.
Despite the constant negative press, covfefe.
I think we've all said that. You know, we've regretted saying it, where you get really upset and you yell covfefe. Maybe you say it under your breath. But we've all at one time or another thought covfefe or let one fly.
Yeah.
Steve Cochran uses words.
I've yelled it at Starbucks.
Have you?
Yes.
I know you used it on one of your cups at one point. Covfefe.
Weekday morning, 6 to 10 on 720 WGN.
Timing is everything, right? Well, right now you can get 17% off MSRP. How are these people at Chevy making any money? They're going to give you $5,200 cash when it comes to a deal on a 2017 Chevy Equinox. Your local Chevy dealer has the perfect car, truck, or crossover. Chevy Equinox is a great place to start looking. Room for five, the family dog, plus 31 miles per gallon on the highway. Equinox has you covered coming and going, not to mention 4G LTE Wi-Fi that turns your Equinox into a mobile hotspot for up to 7 devices. I was driving back from Wisconsin with Max and Quinn, and they were, we have a 2017 Chevy Tahoe, which is awesome. And it has the LTE Wi-Fi, and they were watching on the iPad through the Wi-Fi on the vehicle episodes of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. which I never watched that show. I was just listening to it because it was going through the thing. It's really funny and naughty. Anyway, back to the Chevy commercial. It works. It keeps everybody entertained. It's all available to keep everyone entertained as you drive. Take it from me. You need to check out the new Chevy Equinox. And right now, get 17% off MSRP on a 2017 Chevy Equinox. Timing is everything. So head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for all the details. Only until June 30th. It's your ticket to big savings. That's ChevyDriveChicago.com. Go for it.
It's tough enough to get a guy just to say the L word. Not on this show.
Ruthie, I love you.
Oh, Lou, I love you.
I love you, Deb.
All right, I love you too.
Come on, Greg and Annie. Good morning. Greg, don't take this the wrong way. I love you.
It's all about the love here on the Mr. Fix-It Show.
Love you.
Love you too.
Love when they spread the love.
So give us a call and join in on this love fest.
I love Lou. I love Lou.
Oh, Lou Manfredini, I just love you like everybody else.
I love you, too.
Because you are not going to want to miss it right here on 720 WGN.
I'm proud to admit that I have a man crush on you, Lou.
Zooey Mama.
I forgot about Zooey Mama. Hey, guess who's coming up at 10 o'clock this morning?
I know.
Andrea Darlis and Esmeralda Leon.
I heard.
Filling in for John Williams. Wait, John just come back? He's already taking time off? How does that happen?
Very fancy.
Right. I only get 4 days off a year, and he's already off. What is that? Part-timer. 9:22 in the morning, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Peggy in Lamont. Hi, Peggy.
Good morning.
What's going on?
My question is, my daughter has like a three-story colonial, and she has about five or six house smoke alarms, which are CO2 detectors too. And one is going off at different times, 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock at night, when there's nothing going on as far as smoke or anything like that. NICOR was out yesterday, and the fire department, of course, was out at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, gosh.
And there's nothing they can detect. The detectors are about 2 years old. He had changed everything out about 2 years ago, so they're relatively new. And they're just wondering what do you think could be happening?
A couple things.
Okay.
It's very important that one of the things that I have noticed that happens over time with, and I assume these are hardwired detectors with battery backups.
Yes.
Okay. Something that I have noticed over time, and this I've noticed this on rental properties that I own, is that the way these detectors are, they have a little clip that you plug in to the actual detector, and it's sort of this universal plug so that when you have to swap it out, you can just plug the new one in and that's it. But it is wired with wire nuts to the actual overall electrical system. And I think that because people change the batteries and stuff, a lot of times they loosen the thing, they pull it down, they take the batteries out, put it down. That connection, for some reason, can become loose and that can cause the detector to go off.
Okay.
So the fact that these are only 2 years old, the detectors themselves should be fine. I would have someone go and take the detectors down, pull the wiring down, and at the point where the two wires are actually, there's three wires, where the three wires are connected to the actual electrical system, have someone check all those connections that one of them, depending on who did this originally, but the wires that come, if they were replaced, in particular the wiring, the part that gets peeled off, where you have a wire that has the plastic coating, and then you peel the plastic coating off to expose the wire, and then that gets twisted to the other wire, and then this device called a wire nut holds it together. If that's not long enough and that connection isn't nice and strong when you put that wire nut on, it can be loose, and that little arcing that can occur can cause the detector to go out. So I'd check all the wiring.
Okay.
I'd put a fresh set of batteries in everything.
Okay.
And then the other thing I would check is the breaker that may be feeding the smoke detectors and other devices. And so it could be that that needs to be replaced as well. Now, if it's highly unlikely to me that one of those detectors is bad since it's just been replaced, but it is possible. And the thing is, the way those wired systems work is one detector goes bad or one detector goes off, all the rest goes off.
Right.
Remember that carbon monoxide is an odorless gas, and so we want to ensure that there's no issue. But if you said that, you know, Nicor came out to test it, that's great. As an added safety thing, while, you know, they're nervous about this, do you have grandchildren there too?
Yeah, there's a set of twins and a 3-4-year-old. Okay.
While we're figuring this all out, why don't you, are you going to go see them today?
Yes.
Stop by the hardware store and buy a plug-in, a regular wall plug-in smoke detector carbon monoxide detector, okay? One that's not hardwired. And then up on the second floor where the bedrooms are, find a receptacle there and just plug one in there.
Okay.
So that one we know is separate. It's out of the system. And, you know, in case there's some fault, we're at least protected.
Okay.
Got it?
Great. Got it. I've got it all down.
You got
it. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you calling this morning.
Text me, maybe.
Time for Just Text Me on
the Mr. Fix-It Show.
That's right, 720 WGN.
Text me, maybe.
I like it. All right, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. That's also our text line. And this is our Just Text Me segment that we do at 9:30 every Saturday morning.
And texts we got.
Oh, yeah.
I will only read the ones pertaining to home improvement.
Good job. Good job. By the way, speaking of, I was Thursday and Friday, both I got up at 3:30 in the morning. I was out the door at 3:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
One was to go to Texas and learn about the no trespassing signs.
Yeah.
And the other was to take Mallory and her friend, who are on a service trip to Honduras right now, at an orphanage. Mallory sent me a beautiful picture. It's like her happy place. She just says, she goes, if I didn't miss you guys so much, I would live here and help these kids forever.
Uh-huh.
That's so sweet.
That's
beautiful.
That's
beautiful.
It really is. And, but anyway, what was my point? Oh, I was listening to Nick D, which I don't get to hear Nick DiGilio that much. And, you know, his whole out of context feature that he does.
Yes.
Yeah. I was part of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which I'm thinking, this whole show is out of context, so he must have tons of material with me.
I even get calls sometimes that say, oh, Lou just said this, send it to Nick.
Yeah, right. It's pretty funny. It was funny. Nick sounds great.
It's like that soccer comment.
Yeah, that soccer comment's going. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, what do you got?
All right, can you tell me what I can use to keep mosquitoes out of the yard this summer?
Well, okay, I'm going to a couple things. There are terrific products that you can sprinkle and spray on the grass that really make a difference. Bonide makes it. Who's the other one? Cutter has one that you can put on there that you spray on the yard that can last up to 2 weeks. But the other thing that I want you to look at, which I think is the greatest thing ever, is this product called Insect Shield. Insect Shield is a line of clothing. A lot of Ace Hardware stores are carrying it now. A little, not so much the clothing, but they have the hats. They have hats, bandanas, socks. They have these wraps that are like, what would you call them? Like a
scarf.
A scarf, mm-hmm. Right? It is treated with a synthetic form of permethrin. And the whole idea is when you put this on, it keeps the biting mosquitoes and bugs and chiggers and ticks and stuff away from you. They have a whole line of clothing, too. But it doesn't smell. It's completely safe. It's EPA registered, and it's been around for quite a long time. And it can last up to 70 washes. So check that out. InsectShield.com is the website.
Sorry. I'm just chatting in here.
Oh, sorry.
My friend Bill Conforti.
Oh, good. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Bill. I'll be right with you, Bill. What is a good quality brand of paint to use to fill in small imperfections to paint a deck?
All right. There's several of these products that you can use that do a nice job. Rust-Oleum makes a product called Restore that if you do it right and you put it on correctly in the right prep work, particularly that you sand it before you put it down, it will take care of all the imperfections and give you a painted finish. Now, in my opinion, it's not a long-term solution, okay? So it isn't, I don't want you to think, well, I'm going to do this and 10 years from now I'm going to be fine. If you have an older deck where the, you know, you just don't have it in the budget to replace and you want to make it look a lot nicer and get a good 3 years of performance out of this thing before you have to do anything to it, then this makes the most sense. There's other manufacturers too. I'll tell you this. Consumer Reports just came out with a list of the top 10 stains that are out there. And there's a lot of debate, there always is with Consumer Reports, about the methodology and what they do. And it's very well followed. I mean, people that like Consumer Reports, you know, they go by that stuff and they use it. And I think for a lot of people, they're super happy. All I would tell you is, with any of those reviews on any product, even the ones that, you know, get the good ones, you're like, oh, yeah, it's great. Use that as one other resource, but also look for other third-party endorsements, because not all of the methodology in all of this is the same. And so you just want to make sure that you're using stuff the right way.
All right, next. Carpenter bees are destroying our deck. We have used 3 cans of wasp and bee killer and can still hear those buggers in the wood. Any suggestions to get rid of them?
Yeah.
And what can we do to repair all the holes?
Okay. Well, so the very first thing is we got to get rid of the bees. And the sprays are effective, but you have to stay on it. The foaming sprays do a better job because they can get into the holes and keep them out of there. Depending on where they are, if it's a way that you can do a little, there's a powder that you can use for these ants that essentially is boric acid. And so exterminators, when they have a puffer, it looks like a giant, have you ever used the thing in your, have you ever had to clean out the ears in your girls with solution, that little squirty bottle?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a giant version of that.
Mm-hmm.
And they puff it into where they go. Well, you can buy that, and if you buy the boric acid and you put that in there, you puff it, that's going to help. It'll take a couple days, but it'll work. Then, from there, you need to use a good wood putty that is designed to be outside that says no shrink, and kind of almost dig out the hole a little bit more to give it enough depth that when you put this in with a putty knife, it can get in there and grab. Then once it hardens, you lightly sand it, and they make it in different colors to match. So just choose one that matches.
Ooh la la. I have a table that's a fire pit I would like to repaint. What paint should I use?
It's a fire pit. Fire pit, like a propane pit in the middle?
I'm guessing like a table, yeah.
Yeah. You don't necessarily need to have anything that's high heat. If it's metal, did they say it's metal?
She did not.
Okay. Sand it down. If it's metal, I would use a paint like a Rust-Oleum metal paint. If it's a wood paint, then I would just use a good quality exterior paint. These paint and primers in one, it's a good choice for that on the exterior side. Clark & Kensington, highly rated by Consumer Reports. like I said, take it with... No, but it is a good paint. See, I'm another third-party endorser besides Consumer Reports. And buy a quart of that, do some sanding, put a first coat down, let that dry, and then hit it with a second coat around there. The fact that the heat is in the center of the table shouldn't affect what's on the perimeter of the table whatsoever.
All right. And lastly, don't forget the grilled cauliflower recipe. I'll be listening in the shower.
All right. Here it is. So I've done this twice now. Do you like cauliflower?
I had a cauliflower cake last night.
Okay. This is what I did. I took cauliflower. I cut it up into, you know, bite-sized morsels.
Yep.
Put it into a mixing bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And then I took, because I had guests and I didn't know how they were gonna do this, I took my medium grade Marconi Giardiniera.
Okay.
And I mixed that in with the cauliflower with a little extra oil from the Giardiniera. So I mixed in a bunch of the Giardiniera with the jalapenos and the carrots and whatnot, and then I mixed it all together. And it was the one that Tony O. Did for us, remember?
Mm-hmm.
and mixed it all in, and then I put it in my grill basket on top of my Weber grill, and I grilled it.
Was it a hit?
It was gone. Finished.
Really?
First thing to go on the plate of all
it's
the
so
grilled.
So easy.
So easy. Grilled vegetables. Marconi, giardiniera. Now, I really wanted to do the spicy because I like the hot.
If I were a guest, I would have been grateful for the medium.
Right. And you could do the mild, too, but the medium had just enough little kick in it that Mary Beth does not like spicy.
Yeah.
She didn't complain. Hmm. There you go. Cauliflower recipe in the shower. 9:47 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Darren in Yorkville. Hey, Darren, you're on WGN.
Yeah, hey, Lou. I've got vinyl siding on my house, and I had a plastic bathroom exhaust vent going through it, and it's on the south side of the house. And after 5 years, the sun just kind of, you know, made it go away, basically. And my wife noticed.
You mean the plastic, the vent cover's plastic?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. So the sun deteriorated. There's a little screen on it that was flapped down. My wife saw a bird going into it the other day. So I got up on a ladder. It's about 12, 13 feet up on the side of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I just touched the hood part, and that fell apart. So I needed to get a new one, and then I really don't want to get another plastic one. So I bought a metal hood cover, but I need to know, how can I properly flash that? I searched online for probably about 2 hours looking for some sort of flashing that I can put in there. I'm kind of down to piecing it together with J channel, which I don't really want to do.
Okay. Hold on. So the vent pipe comes out of the side of the siding, and you have a 4-inch pipe right there.
Correct.
And you took the plastic cover came off, and you can see the pipe and everything there.
Correct.
Cleaned out the pipe, and now this metal cover that you're going to put on there, how are you attaching that to the siding?
So it's got a flange on it. Except I can't just stick it right on the siding because, you know, it's siding, and I'd have to put in 3/4 inch of caulk all the way around. So I want to get it underneath the siding, but how do I get it underneath the siding without taking the siding off?
Yeah, you don't.
And getting it through the hole.
Can you – now, let me ask you this. Where the vent cover is going to go on, it's probably not in the field of the siding, right? You're hitting on a knuckle?
The top of the hole is – well, about the center of the hole is
one of the seam or one of the protrusions of the siding. What is it, like a 4-inch reveal or a 6-inch reveal?
Yeah, like a 4-inch Dutch lap, I think it's called.
Okay. But the old one, how was that mounted? Screwed to the thing?
It was screwed to the wall before the siding was put on.
Oh, I see.
I got that all off. It was in pretty rough shape too. It's only the house is 5 years old.
Right.
It's that south facing wall, and they should, you know, had I known I had the choice to put a metal one on for $10 more, I would have given them 20.
Well, let me tell you the metal. I will tell you this: the metal one has a little flap, right?
Correct.
Okay.
There's a screen.
It does have a screen underneath it as well.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So as long as you still have the screen there, that's great, because without the screen, the birds will figure out how to get underneath that flap. And,
right.
What you can do, with the J channel and whatnot, I mean, you could take that cover and put it on the pipe, then take it's hard for me to describe this to you, how you're going to do this without, I don't want it to leak on you. And so in a perfect world, there's a cover. They make a vinyl cover, a vinyl plate that you use for protrusions like this, and it has the J channel already in it. And so,
right. So how do I get that underneath the siding?
Right. So what you do there is you would cut that out, and you would cut it in such a manner that you'd have to loosen some of the nails on the siding, so that you could kind of bend it in place and do it on a warm day when the siding is pliable, and you can sort of snap it into place. And then essentially it's just going to sit there because you won't be able to get any nails behind it. The pipe will come through that plate, and then your new you may have to extend the pipe too. That's the thing, because you're pulling it out a little more, and then your new cover goes over the top of that.
Okay, so it's the one, it's kind of like what you'd use for mounting a mailbox to the siding.
Correct.
One of those bigger
correct.
Mounting blocks.
It's pre-made, comes in different sizes, comes in different colors. You need to go to a siding supplier. I don't know. The big boxes may have it, but I think if you went to someplace like an ABC Supply or something like that, they would have it, and that would be the place. Thanks so much for the phone call. We're bumping up against time.
So long, farewell. Our leaders say adieu.
Adieu, adieu to you and you and you.
Thank you very much for listening. It's time for Lou's Last Call, sponsored by Townstone Financial. Here's Tony in Racine. I like the So Long Farewell. It's good. Hi, Tony.
Hi there. Good morning, Lou.
How can I help you?
I have a quick question. I came in on the tail end of the conversation, somebody calling in and you recommending to get a remote control to install to help operate a ceiling fan.
Yep.
I have that same kind of situation, but I didn't catch the beginning of the call. Not only is there a fan, but there's a light in the center of it. The two chains, one for the fan, one for the light.
Yep.
The last time I turned the light on, it didn't want to go on. And just prior to that, it was working just fine. So the light does not go on at the switch. Is it possible that this remote control thing might help out with it?
Well,
or
I mean, this remote. So what this is, it's an electronic device that you install. You drop the bell housing from the fan that's covering where the fan is hanging.
Yes.
And you wire that to the electric power, and then you can wire the fan and the light. But it isn't going to fix the reason that the light doesn't turn on. So that switch, the actual pull chain, that may need to be repaired. But once you install this, you then can control the fan and the light from the remote control as long as those are all actually working on the device itself. So once you repair that, if you're looking for a remote control option, then it absolutely will work, and you can get it at the big box stores. Hey, quick reminder, we're going to be at Wanamaker's Home and Garden Center next Saturday in Downers Grove. The information is at WGNradio.com/events. So if you'd like to come out and join us, please do. Thanks, Lindsay, for producing this morning. Domati for doing the news, and Ferguson for pushing all the buttons.